Do either of you guys know a book called Year Zero at all? It's by this guy, Rob Reed. It came out within the last year. And the premise of the book is that these aliens come to Earth, and they have names like Bowie and, you know, Jagger and things like that. And they have been listening to music on planet Earth from where they are. And
because all the new stuff hasn't traveled through space to reach them yet.
It's less about the time thing. It's more about the fact that they are incapable of making music. And the one thing that Earth in this entire universe is good at is making music.
The one use.
And they've come to Earth
eat us.
Mm-hmm.
They've come to Earth basically to ask Earth's permission for the rights to play the music. And so the whole book
The rest of the book is about licensing.
The book is actually a lot about licensing, and it's weird.
Really?
Yes, totally. It's a really brilliant, brilliant book.
And it's called Year Zero.
Year
Zero,
by
like
Rob
Reed. Zombie story.
Right, totally.
Or,
anyway, being here made me realize that Planet Earth is in fact, that they're right. Planet Earth is really, really good at making music.
I think every year Bob's takeaway from South by Southwest is something along the music colon good. I mean, that's my takeaway too.
Good night.
Don't get me wrong. Good night, everybody.
I won't lie.
Anyway, I'm Bob Boylan here with Stephen Thompson, Robin Hilton. Ann Powers had to leave early. All week long, if this is the first one you're listening to, all week long we've been sort of doing these data dumps, things we've seen here at South by Southwest 2013. Stephen Thompson,
what's the first thing?
Yes, yeah.
All right. So my day started, as it so often does, at the face of a 56-foot-tall Doritos vending machine. It's kind of my morning ritual to see a singer-songwriter named Haley Bonner, whose music I've really loved and who is not the first person I think of when I think of snack chips. but
now you will.
But played a terrific set, it was right on top of a set, you know, kind of halfway across town, and so I managed to run and catch both, time it up perfectly. So I saw her, and I saw a guy who goes by the name, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of his name, but it's it's Tom Smith. Yeah. His name is, he goes by the name Tia Garaha. And this gigantic Jeff Buckley voice that just echoes and shimmers in the room, and it's gigantic. I don't know that the lyrics are there yet, you know. And so much of when you have a voice like that is
something's got to be behind it.
Is, you know, where you put the nuance and where you put the emotion. But enormously talented singer that I was very, very happy to see. 15 people in the room. I mean, part of it is early. So that was kind of the start, and then just bounced around and kept trying to see things that I had never seen before, and then accidentally seeing things I had seen before.
Yeah, I saw more things I'd seen before this year than any other year, but it felt okay.
Yeah, me too. But that was or artists I knew something about before coming here, but it was so nice to actually get a chance to finally see them. Like I knew Dana, I saw Dana Falconberry today.
Oh, nice.
And had put her on the show. We had a video, you know, I mean, we've premiered some of her stuff on the show. I love her work. Never saw her live, and I thought it was just magical. You know what I thought? She is Patrick Watson. She and Patrick Watson need to do a record together. She's not as elaborate in her orchestrations as he is, but the music has the same sort of magic in it.
I'll go back and listen to it that way. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
That's an interesting... and it's funny. I was hanging out with our good pal Mike Katziff, and Mike was saying, like, I need a Patrick Watson. I need a Patrick Watson moment. And we ended up going to St. David's, one of the churches where they have shows, which are the best venues to see bands.
Not
this
one did I see this.
You
never made it to a church show.
I did. I went to St. David's to see Cello Fury. But
nice.
Go ahead, Steve.
I saw a band from Denton, Texas, called Sirin, which I, you know, people had been telling me about, and you know, which I had wanted to see last year, never got around to. And basically, they were playing their 11th set at South by Southwest, their 11th concert. And because they were suddenly in this kind of cathedral space, you know, pin drop quiet crowd, and you know, just that, there's so much air in the room, they decided to tone their set down. They're usually kind of your stompy, clappy, you know, folk orchestra kind of thing. And so instead, they basically, like, they turned into the low anthem. You know, so this very, that very shimmering, very spacious, very pretty music They were wonderful. It was kind of right near the end of the night, at the end of the festival, and it kind of slowed the blood. It was beautiful.
I started my day off seeing Brass Bed, another band we've had on the show, and I didn't see a whole lot of stuff today, but I saw lots of full sets. I just could not leave that set, so I saw the full set, and it was just amazing.
It's one of the benefits of Tired Feet.
Yeah, I really want that band to take off. They're such smart songwriting, lots of fantastic noise. And then after that, I was going to go see Foxygen, only to find that they had canceled all of their remaining shows. And
Sam's been having some problems on stage, and I think I assume that's probably the reason.
Yeah,
they had a few meltdowns, and
he or the band tweeted afterwards, you know, that Sam's not feeling well, his voice is shot. We'll make it up to you. We'll play some shows elsewhere. And
we'll create another music festival.
We'll do it. But, you know, again, Mike, it's like we spend all day talking with Mike. Mike and I were talking about it.
Get over here, mister. Get over here.
Mike.
Yeah. So Mike's not around. We're all like, where's Mike?
Wait a minute. I have no one to talk to. Mike. No, but we were talking about it, and, you know, it really raises some legitimate questions about how much bands are pushed to deliver here. Mm-hmm. And I think there were people in the audience who were like, shut up and quit your whining, play the hits. And, you know, when you're doing 10, 11, 12 shows in 5 days, I'd be exhausted, I'd be spent, I'd be a little short-tempered and worn out, my voice would be shot too. And I don't know, it just raises some questions, I think, about whether some of this stuff is just... whether festivals that have grown to the size and importance of this one, if it's just too much now, is if they've gotten a little out of control.
It's definitely a... I mean, bands are put in some very unfortunate positions at this festival. I mean, you're dealing with a lot of...
Like Mother Falcon that played half inside and half outside.
Yeah, Mother Falcon where you walk up to the front and there's half the band playing out into the street with five bands playing around them, and then the other half is inside because that's all that could fit on the stage. But I mean, your assignment is to play at a taco restaurant that has no PA, and and there's a bar that runs the length of the room, and that's full of barflies who are talking.
And you haven't slept.
And
and this is your ninth show in 3 days.
I mean, look, everybody's human, and things happen, and we hope Sam's Foxygen gets better. I think sometimes those circumstances, like Ann said the other night, bring out the best in people, and sometimes you just can't, and that's just like the way it is. So I don't think anyone should give anyone a hard time for falling apart.
Yeah.
And I've seen some of that kind of writing, and it kind of makes me sad to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, the timing of it is incredibly unfortunate for the band's trajectory, and like you said, I hope it works out.
Yeah.
But not seeing Foxygen gave me enough time to trek all the way out to the west side of town to see Michael Cronin, another artist I've been wanting to see. And he was at Waterloo Records, which, by the way, an amazing record store where I saw something I never thought I'd ever see again in my life, which was a long, long line of people waiting at a register to purchase music and mostly vinyl, and it's a huge, great record store to get lost in.
Yeah, that's a great
and,
record store.
Anyway, I was hoping to catch the Zombies were playing there too, and I didn't get there in time, but I did end up seeing them later tonight, and they were beyond what I mean they were way better than I thought they were going to be. I thought it'd be like, oh well, I'll hear a few hits, it'll be nice to see these guys sort of, you know, remind me of their greatness, and it was not that at all. I was like, wow, this is a great band doing great music.
They cranked out some of the Argent hits, Held Your Head Up,
and they did
that tonight.
They did some of the new stuff from the new record, and I thought it blended seamlessly with the older stuff. And the band they have, I mean, their band sounded amazing, too. I was just absolutely knocked out.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, a band, as we discussed on a previous podcast, that's been around for 50-plus years, that still qualifies as a discovery.
Yeah, and the room was filled with all these, like, teenagers and 20-somethings and who were singing along with the lyrics. And, there were these two girls next to me who were completely lost in the music, dancing, and they had all these elaborate hand gestures that they'd worked out to all the lyrics, and it was I want to say the zombies, right? You're here for the zombies, right?
Okay. Speaking of elaborate gestures, I saw a Brazilian band called Banje de Role. Absolutely. So the guy, one of the guys, strolls up to the microphone as the set's about to begin. He's like, "We're gonna be playing it in about 20 seconds," and then the band comes up on stage. They're all dressed in animal suits.
Yes.
And there are blow up dolls, and it's
is this going anywhere rated? We should tell people that.
No.
Okay, then keep going then.
Thankfully, no. There's a laptop. It's playing a track. They're singing and rapping and just jumping around with
the dolls.
The dolls are being bounced around
balls. Yes, I've got the pictures in my head.
And one's a penguin and one is a bird of some kind. But there is when the animal heads would come off, and there are just these gigantic smiles on their faces, and you. They were incredibly happy, and I found literally 30 seconds in, I'm thinking, I love this band. I want to hang out with this band. It had a little bit of a Brazilian Andrew WK vibe to it, where it was very celebratory and about partying and fun and everything. But the music was just wonderful, and I'd heard of the band before, but it was a discovery for me. Banje de Role.
On the other end of the spectrum, I saw Olafur Arnolds. Did you?
Oh yeah.
As a cat set, that was just a lovely bit of peace and quiet and just beauty. Although trying to get the people at Peckerheads to be quiet was a little bit hard.
Olafur Arnolds at Peckerheads
There is a braveness to, and this goes with, talking about.
It was as if he was playing in St. David's. It was as if he was playing in a cathedral. In terms of the sound that he was
right,
putting
but there
out.
There was thumping coming
was
from all sorts,
thumping
beard,
and jammer,
and then
and
the
jabbering.
Next room, and they soldiered on. It was him and a cellist and a police car.
There were probably police sirens at all times.
It was Olafur Arnolds was on keyboards, and he had a cellist and a violinist, and it was just this beautiful, beautiful music. I'm now going to go home and spend a lot of time with that record. Yeah. It's going to be a wonderful late night evening record. And the other end of the spectrum, I saw KXP again. We did a front row video of them at a burger joint called the Flat Top Burger Shop, which is a burger shop in a garage that used to be an old gas station garage.
Oh, wow.
So the bands played in the garage, and it was put on by Music for Listeners. Really nice people curating a show every year there. So keep an eye if you come back to South by, check these folks out. My favorite part, other than loving KXP and their pulsating, wonderful music from Helsinki, is that when the lead singer saw the burger joint, he told all the members in the band, "All right, full on capes for the burger joint." So they wore their black fringed capes, which are incidentally the same capes made by the same woman who makes the capes for Sun. The band Sun.
Oh, nice.
So,
what do you do? I'm a cape maker.
I got a good cape guy.
Yeah, I know a guy. I can set you up. And no, he does the capes for Sun. It's cool. I saw Telekinesis, also my last chance to see them, and I just think they should be the biggest band in the world. I can't wait for the new record. Was it Dormarian? Dormarian, named for the. I think it's named for the street that Jim Eno's studio is on, where he recorded that.
Here in Austin.
Yeah. And
not far from here.
He did some new stuff from it, from the record.
I saw Elephant Stone, the sitar psych band. That was a great set. Mike, you were there. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you think?
It was great, actually. That was one of my favorite discoveries from listening to all the pre-listening. And it reminded me of George Harrison, Stone Roses a little bit, but
really
Indian
rocked.
Sounding too,
but it really rocked,
and droney,
too.
Yeah,
that was pretty great. We shot Ivan and Alyosha, who we've done things with before. They're a Seattle band, and they have a new record out, and they just kicked. The room was full of people, all for the most part, because it was a free show. Mm-hmm. You wind up getting people who just stumble
in, stroll in,
and so I saw all these lit up faces of people who had never seen this band, who are they?
That's
so we'll have a front row video for them. I was very excited for them.
Yeah, that's a marvel.
I was
that's
really, really, really amazed by that record, actually.
If you're a Beatle-y fan, that's their
their sweet spot. Did not see it coming either when that record came in. I was not expecting that, really.
Brainstorm was also another Front Row video we got. And they're a band from Portland, three-piece. I think I've mentioned before on our show, they're very sort of... they've got a little African guitar-y sound to them, but they also have a very Gang of Four sound. And on one of our shows, I mentioned the Gang of Four connection that I heard in my head, and he said he's a huge Gang of Four fan, but never really thought about his music as sounding that way.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of funny how you have these influences as a musician that come out in ways that you don't even hear, because this is part of your DNA.
It makes me think of Gash Cat, another Front
Row
video.
Did you see him?
I saw Gash Cat tonight, another full set I set through, and he did...
Ben from Atlanta?
They're from Louisiana. I think maybe Shreveport. But Gash Cat played, and we shot a video, Front Row video of that. Kyle Kraft, the lead singer, he said his voice was shot. I thought he sounded great, but he wants to hear it before we put it up, so hopefully he'll be happy with it, and we'll put that up. But, you know, that band, and I've been guilty of this too, gets compared to Neutral Milk Hotel all the time, and I asked him beforehand about that. He said, dude, I don't even listen to Neutral Milk Hotel. He said, I'm so tired of getting compared to it. He said, my biggest influence is Bob Dylan. In fact, the name Gash Cat, which I thought was ridiculous, comes from a Bob Dylan. He said Bob Dylan is probably his biggest influence. In fact, the band's name, Gash Cat, comes from... He told me it came from Dylan, and I had to look it up, and it's the Electric Gash Cat, the Night Crash Ballads. It's a compilation of Bob Dylan studio recordings from... 65 to 66, I guess. And but they were just so good live, and I want them to get signed to a nice label and have a nice home and have a nice life.
Speaking of which, I try to see him at every opportunity, but I saw one of my favorite singers, Micah P. Hinson. I mean, I've been talking about him on this show since Carrie Brownstein was on, and I remember Carrie sort of saying, well, he sings a lot like Bill Callahan from Smog.
Yeah.
And you know, which is you know, my experience also on the recordings. I think it's a little grittier. But tonight, you know, it was a little roughed up, and Mike Katziff. I went with Mike Katziff. Who knew? And Mike,
I just tag along to a lot of things.
All we do is talk with Mike Katziff. What did you talk with Mike Katziff today about?
We saw the Sitar band.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Anyway, Team Tomcat was at Micah P. Hinson, and Mike said he reminded him actually his vocals of Vic Chestnut.
Oh.
And that it was kind of that there was
it had like a rough like warble to it.
That yeah,
it was very kind of odd and peculiar.
Yeah, peculiar is a good word. I just love his stuff, and I'm just dying to get him heard more here. You know, he's got more of a following in Europe, you know, than he does here. Even though he's from Abilene, Texas, that's how it works sometimes.
So, what's the one thing you'll remember most about?
Okay, well, you know, when
Southwest,
months from now, I think when I look back on the festival, you know, I mean, for all of the musical epiphanies and all the, you know, bonding with friends and all the excitement, what I'll really remember is the foot pain.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
No.
That doesn't work.
No, I mean, in terms of moments, mostly I stuck to things I had never seen before. They weren't they couldn't be things I'd never heard of, because I'd done tons and tons of advanced preparation and heard as much as possible. But in terms of a moment that stopped me dead, it was a band I've seen before, a band I've loved for years, that's not even I don't know if it even qualifies as a discovery, but I was sitting on the floor of the convention center, and Sam Beam from Iron and Wine was up on this, you know, day stage or whatever, and played Naked as We Came. Which is one of my favorite songs of all time.
Yes.
Apparently, he played Trapeze Swinger at his set tonight, and I missed it. Those two songs are two of my all-time favorite songs. But he played Naked as We Came, and I'm sitting on the floor, kind of, you know, Indian style, and just a tear streaming down each cheek. And that was probably the most, like, you know. But, I mean,
that song kills me, too. If I'd been there, I'd been the same. But I have to say, actually... For me, and this may surprise you, because you would think that I would say my most memorable moment was seeing the Lips do all of Yoshimi, but it actually wasn't. I'm going to go with Nick Cave.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Cave's performance at...
like a month ago.
I know. The very first big thing we saw on Wednesday night.
It was so great.
But it was just... I have not stopped thinking about it, honestly. I just keep thinking... In terms of the complete package, the music, the mix, the sound, the crowd,
his
presence on the stage, his performance, his command, and just everything about it is all you ever hope music and live music will ever be for you when you go out. And I have not stopped thinking about him in a completely different way. You know, it's one of those examples of a live performance that completely reconfigures the way you are thinking about an artist and their entire, you know, catalog of music and their history, particularly when it comes to someone like him who's been around as long as he has. So I'm definitely keep going back to Nick Cave. That was my big moment.
That's awesome. There was a singer in Parenthetical Girls,
mm-hmm.
Who had that stuff that we saw in Nick Cave. He was climbing on the speakers. There were four hanging lamps that he made swing while he walked on a bar and walked between, all improvised, you know, just walking through the crowd, and just had this fantastic command. Parenthetical Girls was really good. It might not have been my moment, but I looked more once we saw the Nick Cave, which was really one of the early things we saw, at performers in that way. Yeah. And that guy was
slithered around, yeah, the stage.
And so did this in a smaller place, in a lesser stage, mm-hmm. The fellow from Parenthetical Girls. I'm thinking that in some ways Rye, that show, mm-hmm. really touched me in a way that was completely unexpected. So
interesting.
In some ways it was the contrast to so much volume, mm-hmm. that made, mm-hmm. that thing stand out in the way the Olafur Arnalds did.
Right.
So in some ways it's not a complete fair, like, you know.
Sarin was that for me.
Yeah.
That very spare set in the church.
But I really enjoyed Mother Falcon. I think I'm really going to walk away with that one. The last thing I saw at South by Southwest was, and I'd seen them earlier in the day, Stephen, you'd
Yes, this is where we talk about the fact that I was right.
That's it. This is we already put this in the script. Whatever script. I don't know.
Yeah, script. Okay,
right. It's all scripted. We're all reading this.
Yeah.
Yes, Stephen, you were very, very wise to choose Mother Fallon.
Mother Fallon.
But they played Esther's Follies after having seen him in the daytime, playing half indoors, half outdoors. They played a full stage, much more nuanced to their music, though there was four other bands blaring through the room, so that was frustrating. But that was a really beautiful, beautiful moment. That's so many beautiful moments.
Yeah. A lot of great big bands, when we talked about it a little bit in the pre-show.
So on the blog, there's all the posts that will list our highlights from the week. I know I'm going to put a post together of just like the 10 things that really matter to me, and I'll try to do that on the plane if I don't fall asleep.
I'll write a post about foot pain.
My back! That's what my post will be called. With an exclamation point.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to be back here next year, so it'd be really awesome.
Oh, back. I thought you meant back home.
No,
can't
back
wait
here.
To be back home.
No,
I'm already thinking about next year.
Get back here again. It's so much and never enough. It's all I can say. I love this place.
Spring break 2014.
It is so much and it is totally enough for me.
So are you ready to go?
Am I ready to go home?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it started on Tuesday this year, and so it was five full nights. Just musically, I could do another night. Physically, I'm old.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is so much, and it is wonderful, and I love all of my time here. But honestly, this is where I'm at my crispiest, and I'm honestly ready to go home and recover a little bit.
Yeah, I'm on about my ninth wind.
Yeah,
but it was I found this to be an enormously satisfying festival musically. Discovered a lot of great stuff. A lot of stuff we'll take back. A lot of stuff, you know, bands will be finding ways to celebrate again and again over the course of the year. And you know, another one in the books.
I invited a number of bands to the Tiny Desk from being here. So
nice.
Looking forward to that.
Great.
An extension. And we get back to our offices, and the first thing we have to do is pack to move.
To move.
Wow. So I'd rather stay here, guys.
This is a magical land. I was thinking this as I took one last walk up 6th Street today, which for people who don't know the area.
I'm actually going to do that when we're done.
6th Street is where all the mayhem is, and it's really like Mardi Gras on that street. And I took one last walk up that street tonight, and I thought of you, Bob. As I was walking, I thought, I bet this is just Bob's idea of Nirvana. just all the, all,
it's all these all, drunken all, jackasses.
Or just all these people out embracing life and living it to the fullest.
That's one way to
put it. And I will say one last observation that is so obvious, I can't believe it's taken me all these years of coming here to notice, and that is that nobody walking up and down 6th Street has a badge or a wristband.
Right.
They are here for the spectacle. They're here to be a part of it. They're not going to the music. If they're going to any music at all, it's not probably happening around in this area, because most of the like really free shows are like in someone's backyard or right. sort of off the beaten path somewhere.
But you want to just breathe the air. You
just want to be. Everyone comes out for this, and it's just sort of this big crazy thing that happens.
I don't think people have jobs either.
You think that, because how could they possibly be getting up in the morning?
Well, it is Saturday night.
After that.
No, but all week long. Yeah, I mean, you go down and...
the density of 6th Street, it gets denser and denser as the week wears on until tonight.
Well, to next year.
Yeah, all right, Bob, enjoy your final walk down the 6th Street.
I recommend walking down 6th Street at about 7 in the morning when they're sweeping up.
We've done that together.
Yeah, and you get that transformation of like, wow, they have their city back. Good for them.
Good night, Austin.
Good night.
Good night.